Cody's favorite character was the old codger. And so for two nights, I asked the old codger to give some counsel to us. And on the first night, the old codger said, "Read your Bible every day." And that was his counsel. And on the second night, I asked the old codger for some wisdom. And he said, "Go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night." And we call that three to thrive. Three to thrive. That's because we need to be influenced by God and by His Word. Because this world is just pushing to squeeze us into its lies. And we're living in days of tremendous deception. And when it comes to children, we just did a children's ministry, you know, for 3 days. I have a lot of children's ministry we're involved in here with our teen group, with our Sunday school classes, with our Christian school, homeschool, with all of the things that we're doing, vacation Bible school, bus ministry. A lot of it is geared toward our children and supporting our families, camp, conferences that help the children. And I couldn't help but think, you know, we need to choose carefully who will influence your children. And I speak to you with years of wisdom on this and to help you, and I've tried to set the church up with that in mind. And as I've observed things over the years to benefit people coming after me when it comes to this, and I've gleaned that wisdom, and I can pass it on to you and help you if you'll follow the advice. And so I thought a good scripture for this, and fitting Vacation Bible School, and old codger's right, read your Bible every day, and you do come to church 3 days a week, and bring your kids with you. But turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 22 that we read, and I want to look at 2 Chronicles and chapter 22, and I'll just begin to read and you follow, starting at verse 1. It says, "And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his stead. For the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the eldest. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned." Now this is really strange because you get into confusion. Here you have Jehoram in the southern kingdom, and then you have Joram or Jehoram in the northern kingdom. And you're like, well, which is which? Well, they were both kings. They traded one another's names. And you say, well, where did all this confusion start? Well, the north was liberal. And the north had gone away from God, the northern kingdom. And the southern kingdom had a lot of blessing in it. And there was a godly king by the name of Jehoshaphat. How many have heard of King Jehoshaphat? He was a godly king in the south, descended from King David. And he served God with all of his heart. He taught the word of God and made sure that throughout the southern kingdom, the word of God was taught. It kind of reminds me of America. You know, the north went liberal before the south. Did you know that? And the south was much more Bible-based than the north. And so it's very interesting. It follows that same pattern. And so anyway, this Jehoshaphat was a godly man, but he had a weakness. He was a godly, good man, but he had a terrible weakness. And the weakness was he hung around with the liberals. And he spent time with them. And the liberal king of the north had a wicked wife by the name of Jezebel. And he was bad. And his name was Ahab. Ahab and Jezebel. Kind of reminds me of Bill and Hillary Clinton. You know, I call her Hillabelle. Hillabelle. And they're still wicked. Wicked to the bone. And they're still helping to destroy America. Their political son is Obama. And I call him Joram. He's Joram. And wicked. And I call Donald Trump Jehu. So there's good news there. But anyway, You know, you see all of this going on there in this whole system, and it is wicked. And because Jehoshaphat didn't carefully separate himself from that liberal crowd and made them like his family, they became his family. Because he didn't do that, his kid intermarried with their kid. And unfortunately, Jehoshaphat's kid name was Jehoram, and he married the daughter, it says daughter of Omri, but it means the granddaughter of Omri. Actually, she was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Her name was Athaliah. And she was a wicked, wicked woman, just like her mother. And, you know, like mother, like daughter. And she married the godly king's son, Jehoshaphat's son, because he lacked careful separation. And they got married. And by the way, who you marry is very important.
Right.
And who you marry a lot of times is the crowd that your parents are with and allow to influence. And so all of this is very, very important. When it's choose carefully who's going to influence your children. And so they made the wrong choices. And so this Athaliah got in there, and Athaliah, it was horrible, because Athaliah now and her husband Jehoram died of a terrible disease in his bowels, and he died. And Athaliah now was a widow, and an ungodly widow, and they had a baby named Ahaziah, and he was the king of Judah. And so Ahaziah was the king. Well, when Ahaziah of Judah, he did just like his grandfather Jehoshaphat. He hung out with the king of Israel. At that time, the king of Israel was Joram. That was his father's name, but that was also the king of Israel's name. So he was hanging out with Joram. And Joram, you know, was the son of Ahab and Jezebel. And so he was hanging out with Joram. And because he was hanging out with Joram, when Jehu came to slay Jezebel and to slay Joram, the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, the liberal, Ahaziah was there. And he got the bow and arrow right through his chest from Jehu. So he was killed as well. And when he was killed, his wicked mother, Athaliah, daughter of Jezebel, she proceeded to kill all the royal seed of David and all of her grandchildren except for one. She couldn't kill that one. And I want to kind of pick it up there that she could not kill that the one. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I want to preach to you this morning on choose carefully who will influence your children. Choose carefully who will influence your children, and I might say your grandchildren. Because sometimes grandparents want to get everything together into this big hodgepodge, and that can be not too cool if you really care about grandchildren. And so I want to say that, number one, choose carefully who will influence your children for the formative years of the life of children. Choose carefully. And notice verses 1 through 7 of 2 Chronicles 22. The wicked father, Ahaziah, was killed off, as we said, and his wicked, the wicked grandma cut off all the brothers, as I said. And look at verse 10, and I'll read it. It says in verse 10, "But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah." So, but now I want to show you something. Look at verse 11. It says, "But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So this Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah. Now, she was the sister of Ahaziah, but she had another mother than this wicked Athaliah. She had another mother, but she was the sister of Ahaziah, but she had another mother. And it says they hid him from Athaliah, so that Athaliah slew him not. She didn't slay Joash because Joash was hid. Notice in verse 12, and he was with them hid in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. So notice that in the formative years, this boy, Joash, was hid in the house of God because of his aunt. And she was married to a godly man, and this godly man was a teacher. He was a priest in Judah, and he was a great guy, and this guy helped hide him in the house of God. His name was Jehoiada. And so they hid this Joash in the house of God in his formative years. And let me just say this, that is important to hide people, to protect people from the world. You remember Moses was hid in an ark and put in the Nile River because of his mother wanting to protect him. And then God worked it out so that the blessing was that Moses actually got to be raised by his mother in his formative years. And she homeschooled him. She taught him the Bible, and she taught him the ways of the Lord. And the world couldn't get at him. And that's what happened here to Joash. In his formative years, he was protected, you see, in the house of God. And this wicked Athaliah couldn't get. Do you know that our children, the devil wants to get them. He wants to make them like the world. He wants to get them. And we need to carefully choose who's going to influence the children, you see. And Moses' mother made a wise decision. I think about that. Pharaoh's daughter actually paid the mother to school the children. And I think of how God does that. I think about the public school system. And they have buses that bring the kids to public school, and they get brainwashed in the ways of globalism and the ways of the world, and they're getting that in the public school. I'm sorry for that, but if you have your kids in public school, they're being brainwashed. They're being brainwashed by the devil's crowd, and you are not wise. And so that was going on. And I think about our, just like Moses, his mother got paid by Pharaoh. I think of Brother Z here and his wife. They're driving bus for the public school, but they're actually driving their own kids to Christian school and getting paid for it. And the Christian school is hid under the church. And God's protected us all these years. And we thank God for that. And I commend them for choosing carefully, the homeschool parents, the Christian school parents, choosing carefully who influences your children. That is so important to do that. And I remember talking to a mother one time, and I told her, I said, you know, you need to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. You need to bring your kid. Then you need to get the kid in Christian school and keep him in Christian school. And it got to a point where she got some other counsel, his kid got some other counsel, and she put him in public school. She took him out of the Christian school. And right away, I could see it, and Christian school, too strict, too many rules, and this and that. Well, he got in public school, he got in all kind of trouble. And then he got in trouble with the law. And guess what they did? They brought him back here to church and back to me, and he had to go to church, because the law required it. and in order to do, you know, community service and all that, we had him right back in church and right into that kind of stuff. But it, the end of the story isn't well, because they went back and just kept going against that counsel, and the kid turned away from God and the things of God entirely. And so I'm just saying to you that choose carefully who's going to influence the children. And one of the things I think about in the formative years, that the battle is such that the devil wants to get the oldest children. If he can get to the oldest children in the family, he will get to the younger children. You see, because the oldest child has a tremendous influence. That started way back in the Garden of Eden. Cain, he was the first one out. And he went after Abel, right? But he wound up killing Abel in that case, you know. But the oldest child will take out the youngest child. And I thank God for our young people that are living for God. I thank God that Ben was teaching in Vacation Bible School. And he's the oldest son, because he can influence the younger ones if he's serving God. And there's a fight for that oldest kid to see which way he's going to go. Same with Dr. Luke here, the oldest son. And I've watched that in our families, and I've said, I'm watching that battle. I'm praying for that battle, because I know how it works from the Bible and from pastoral experience, from my life experience. I know how it works. So I'm just simply saying to you this morning, choose carefully who is going to influence your children in the formative years. Not just professing Christians, but right-wing, sold-out fundamentalists in the Bible, in the Word of God, children. And there needs to be an agreement between the church, the school, and the home. You cannot have a school with more liberal standards and the home with, you know, more conservative and faithful biblical standards. And you've got to have those three. The Bible said a threefold cord is what? Not easily broken, Ecclesiastes. Those three must agree, amen, and they are to agree for God. And so you need to choose carefully who's going to influence your children. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not going to follow that counsel. Well, good luck, because you're going to pay for it, and your kids are going to pay for it. And so I am saying you cannot afford it. There's too much pressure in the world today. There's too much satanic pressure. It's a little dab will not do you. A little bit will not do you. You have to go all the way. That's why I'm thankful for the summer that we have in our church. We have camp. And I'm thankful for parents who take advantage of camp and do that, and our youth group and youth conference and all of that. It's important. I remember a mother, the father was going one way, the mother was going the other way, and the mother was godly and wanted to do right. And I said to the mother, you need to get your child more in the influence of camp. You need to get your child the influence of the youth work that we have here. You need to get more involved in all these things and work together. And the mother thought she knew better, and she did it the other way. Well, the devil got in, the father got in, and the kid was messed up. I mean, totally destroyed. And it had destructive effect on the other kid, on the family, because the older works down to the younger. So what I'm telling you is not only in the Bible here, but it's in my life experience, in my pastoral experience. I'm just sharing a little bit of a whole lot this morning. And I'm just saying, in my first point of this message is choose carefully who will influence your children. It is so important, and that when it's not done properly, the devil will get in there and he will have a heyday. I was so thankful to see Brother Bob. He's a busy man, but he took off work to spend time with his wife and with his kids and go to camp with them. And that is so important. And it is so important to have a godly mother who will influence children. You know, Jack Hiles had a godly mother. His father was a drunkard, but he had a godly mother. She influenced. This Athaliah was a wicked woman. and she influenced her son Ahaziah to be ungodly. And so it is so important who you hang around with. And Jehoshaphat, the grandpa, he messed it all up, because sometimes it's a grandpa, sometimes it's a grandma. And they want to get you in this hodgepodge of people because of a worldly agenda. Listen, don't follow that stuff. You follow the teaching of the Word of God. And choose carefully who is going to influence your children. And to have that agreement is very important between the church, the school, and the home. And it all needs to be based upon this Bible right here. And we are living in such a wretched day. And I can't help but think about, you know, women wanted to dress like men years ago. Women decided in America, we're going to change, we're going to start wearing men's clothes, you know. And now you've got men that look more like women than women sometimes. And these men are really men, but they look like women. I get somebody like Blair White is an example of that. And people are just, it's such confusion and such deception that is going on. And so we need to be influenced by the Word of God, not just a little bit. We need to be full of it and get it into our homes, get it into our lives, and make sure that it is there and that we're doing it. Now, that's for the formative years of the life of the child. Secondly, for the young early service years of the children. Because not only do the children need to have the right influences and teaching of the Word of God when they're very young, but as they grow, they need to have opportunities to serve the Lord. Now, I've said this, and I'll say it again. If you really want to learn the Bible, come to Sunday school and church, three to thrive, and, you know, be here. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. I encourage you. Read your Bible. Pray every day, and you'll grow. Amen. But not only that, if you really want to learn the Word of God, teach a Sunday school class. And I came in at the end of the singles class, you know, and what he was saying was some of the same stuff we were saying. And it got me. It's the same Holy Spirit, same Bible, same book of Revelation, but he's teaching it. And so as you teach, you even learn more. And you share what you learn. And that's why I like to have more than one Sunday school class. And I would like more people to become Sunday school teachers. Same with Vacation Bible School. You know, this year I was asked, well, who should we have as teachers for the Vacation Bible School? I said, I'd like to have Ben Bajeski teach. I'd like to have Luke Zukowski teach and so forth, and Lily Zukowski and so forth. Why? Because it gives our young people who've been in the formative years opportunity now to teach others. And when you teach others, guess what? You learn more yourself and you get stronger yourself. And that's a wonderful place to be in when you can be in that place. Even the Roman Catholic, one of the whore churches, unfortunately, the Roman Catholic, they say, you give us a child till it's 4 years old, we'll keep him for life. You give us a child till he's 4 years old, and they say, we'll keep him for life. And so there is a battle that's going on for these formative years. And then there is a way we can strengthen it in the early service years. And I'm talking here about a teenage years. You know, somebody has said that a child, the character of a child is formed when they're in the elementary years. The character of the child is formed in the elementary years. And how is the character best formed? If they come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you want to be sure of that as a parent. You want to be sure they're saved. And then to get them baptized and to get them into the things of the Lord. But you want to be sure. And as a parent, you're looking for that. I had one of the mothers of the Vacation Bible School kids was here a couple nights. And she was talking to me. And she came up to me. She said, Pastor, I see you have the king and queen, you know. And, you know, I was queen for Thursday night. one year. I was queen for Friday night one year. And I was queen for Saturday night one year. And I called her name. I said, yeah, I remember those years with you. And I remember how you were so into it, like your little kids here. You were so into it and the things of the Lord. And went to our Christian school, because we have a lot of bus kids that go to the Christian school. I said, do you know what your problem was? I said, when you hit the teen years, it was boys. She goes, and I said, that was the end right there. And, you know, I remember, I didn't say this, but I remember this particular girl, I don't know, she may have been 14, and she was already into unsaved boys, you know, and going with this boy and that boy. And she could attract attention, you know, they thought she was attractive. And so she was into it with him. And I remember, I said, I'm going to witness to one of these guys. And literally, she was there with one of her boys as a teenager, 14, 15, whatever she was. And we'd given some of our girls rings. They were like promise rings that you'll be pure till you're married. And I remember taking her ring back. I said to my wife, we're going to take that one back. Because she's just not. And we took it back, you know. And so she had this guy. And I started to witness to him. And she left. And I was witnessing to him, and she left. I thought, well, at least she could stay, you know. And she left, and all of a sudden he gets a phone call, and he takes his cell phone out, and he's getting distracted just as I wanted to lead him to Christ. And come to find out later, it was her. She left, called the guy to get him away from me. Well, she lived to regret, no doubt, some of those decisions. But you know what? If the child isn't truly born again, did she really get saved, or did she just get into the environment and the atmosphere? And so when we say choose carefully who influences your child, make sure that your child knows Jesus Christ. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That is so important, because unless they're born again, those influences will not hold. They will not hold. But you're giving them the best opportunity in the Scripture, having the older one serving the Lord. And so I was so glad that happened. So somebody has said a child is formed in their early elementary years. We call the juniors, you know. That's when their character is formed. In their teenage years, their character is tested. Which way are you going to go? Now they have a little bit more freedom. They have a little bit more. Which way are you going to go? What are you going to do? And you teenagers, you are being tested. Are you going to serve the Lord in your free time? Or are you going to get on that cell phone and get on those bad websites or find them or go against your parents? You're going to have to make that decision. Are you going to listen to the wrong crowd and wrong friends? They're going to try, even if they're in your family. And they're telling you junk. You need to get away from them. I don't care if they're in your quote-unquote big matriarchal family or patriarchal family, whatever it is. You look at that in the Bible, you see that happening. You get away from that influence. And then you start making the decisions to yourself. The parents are not only making them, you're making them. And then it goes on from there as we get into adult years. The fruit of your character as a kid, your choices as a teenager will come out as an adult. And that's what Brother Hiles told us. He said, you know, when he was a teenager, he was tested whether he would drink, whether he would fornicate. And he passed those tests by the grace of God, he said, and by the prayers of his mother. he said, I have youth conference and I have college. You know, Hiles, I have so much opportunity. And you're still seeing the influence of that ministry to this day. And that's why the devil attacks it so much. But I'm just saying to you, my friends, choose carefully who will influence your children in the formative year. And we here at this church, we have benefited from the wisdom of the Bible, from my own life experience, from my pastoral experience, to set it up to help you so that you can have that help that you need, that would give the children the best opportunity, and I don't intend to back down from that one iota, and I intend to stay with that for the formative years of your children, and then for the early young service years. I would say that would be the teen years of your children. And just look at 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 1. 2 Chronicles 24 and verse 1, it says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zabiah of Beersheba, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now notice this, all the days of Jehoiada the priest, and Jehoiada took for him two wives, and he begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out into the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter. Howbeit the Levites hastened it not. So this young man now was getting a little bit older, and he was serving the Lord, and he was getting people to give their money to the work of God, and he was involved in the work of God. And that is so great that if your young people can do that. And thank God when our young people get musical instruments and they learn how to play those instruments, whether it's in church and so forth, and serve the Lord. They learn how to use their talent and their gift and serve the Lord in their teen years. And that can be such a blessing, and it can be such an influence. And he had all of that because of his aunt. And his aunt, through her godly husband, Jehoiada. By the way, Jehoiada lived to be about 120 years old. God blessed him with old age. I mean, really old age. And all the years of Jehoiada, this guy was influenced to do the right thing. And what a blessing that is when that happens. And we need to see more of that happening. And we want to see more of that happening as we reach out. But let me say this. Choose carefully who will influence your children for the formative years of the life of the child, for the young, early service years of the children, but then for the warning of them changing. And I want you to go to chapter 24 now, 2 Chronicles, and look at verse 15. 2 Chronicles 24 and verse 15, I'll read it. It says, but Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. And 130 years old was he when he died. Wow. Brother Joe, keep eating your vegetables. Amen. And the old codger is only, what, 104 years old. 104 years old. He said the first night he was 102. And he said, you know, read your Bible and pray every day. And he started reading his Bible when he was really, really young, you know, and so forth. But anyway, notice that in verse 16, they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. But now watch this, verse 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. That's Joash. Then the king hearkened unto them, and he left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this trespass. You know what? When you get into your adult years, you're going to make the choices. You know, people say to me, oh, you can only eat vegetables? I say, look, I'm over 21. I can eat whatever I want. I choose what I eat. Oh, you can only eat this or you can only do that? And I said, no, it's my choice. And you make choices when you get to be an adult. Now, if you are wise as an adult, and I'm talking to you parents again, Because when you guys get to be adults, you'll be parents in not too long. It'll happen like that before you can imagine it. And when you get to be an adult, you know, you're going to make the choices of who, and he made the wrong choices of who's going to influence him. Because when Jehoiada died, he should have found out some other good leaders. You know, it kind of reminds me a lot. Lot was influenced by Abraham, and Lot was really doing good when he was with Abraham. But when Lot got away from Uncle Abraham, he was in bad trouble. And he let the people of Sodom influence his family. And you look at his daughters that just let him go. You look at the daughters of Sodom, let him go. You look at the daughters of Sodom, of Lot, and they were technical virgins. In their mind, they were filled with filth. And it came out later in their lives, you see. And I'm afraid that that happens to a lot of children of godly people. They're technical, dress right, talk right, walk right, but their minds are no good. I've seen it. And so we need to go from, preaching to meddling in that respect and help. But then when they get to be adults, you make that choice and you make that choice and who's going to influence you. And he got the princes to influence him and they influence him to turn away from the Lord. And what a sad thing it is. And remember, Jehoiada had really trained him, had really given him every opportunity. Now look at this in verse 19. And then verse 20 says, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the biological son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandment of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of what? The king. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. Now, I'm just saying to you, when you get to be an adult, you have great opportunity and great responsibility. You know, I've seen adults that really had godly men over their life. And at one time, they followed good teaching. But when that godly man died and got out of their life, and now they're around other people, they're drifting. Their families are drifting. They're going away from the Lord. I'm saying, listen to me, if somebody godly dies around your life, get somebody else that's going to be godly influence. Stay with the right influences as an adult. And choose who's going to influence your children. And make sure in the home, in the church, and in the school, it's all in agreement with the right influence. And get as much as you can. And make sure that you shepherd the heart of the child to come to Christ. And give them every opportunity to be saved. Because without that, you can't hold them. And so that's our prayer, and that's my plea as we come to the end of Vacation Bible School and end of the business year, that you get a hold of it. Amen? And get a hold of it. And you young people that are here today, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. Have you opened the door of your heart to Jesus? And have you yet received him as your Savior? If you have not, listen, you will take the mark of the beast someday. Or your kids will take them. It's got to be the Lord in our life that can hold us. And thank God for those of you that have. Let's bow for prayer. And I'm going to ask every head bowed and every eye closed. And